And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Hello, this is Sydney Wildsmith, and you're listening to the Wild Side News. If you like nature, you'll love the Wild Side News. What's bigger than the interstate highways? More real than reality TV? More fun than skateboarding down a flight of stairs? And it's all yours for free? To find out, get ready for another great adventure here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Yes, welcome. This is Sydney Wildsmith with the Wild Side News. And we have an extraordinary show coming up with some amazing guests today. We're going to really focus on the National Trail System in America, which is something that is an invaluable resource to us. We're going to really cover a lot of different aspects of this, but just a couple of thoughts before we get started with this show today. You know, this is my premiere show, and I'm really excited to be here. And, of course, being a premiere show, you want to get here on time. And so I live in San Diego, a wonderful little paradise here. So I left way early this morning, and then I hit the freeway, and guess what? The freeway was totally jammed. And now I'm getting a little nervous because that can be a serious thing. You can go on forever stuck on the freeway, and now I'm having visions of, you know, oh, my God, the show isn't going to happen. I'm going to be stuck here. How do I do that? So I had to be proactive. So I hopped off the freeway, and I hopped onto one of the byways, which actually in San Diego here means I head over to the coast along Highway 101. Well, that's a pretty good place to be, actually. So getting off the freeway, I got onto the byway, and guess what happened? A lot of wonderful things happened. Actually, the next thing you know, I was actually moving faster than all those people on the freeway. And I was driving along, and there was the beautiful blue, gorgeous Pacific Ocean. The palm trees were out there. It was a beautiful morning. I looked out, and there were surfers out on the ocean having a great time. And I thought to myself, you know, this is what happens when you get off the freeway and you get onto the byways. I moved from bumper to bumper to wonder, and actually that's going to be a great introduction to what we're going to talk about, because we're going to be talking about getting off the freeways and the fast pace and getting on to the byways, which in America actually are encompassed in our national trail system. So before we get to that, we have a few things. There's a couple of things I want to just bring up, a couple of news items. And then we're going to get to our first host, which is Deb Salt, and she's on the line waiting. So Deb, just wait patiently, and we'll get to you. You'll hear a little clip here from some of your friends, and I think you'll enjoy that. But let's talk about just a couple of news things. Since we talk about land issues here, I just wanted to say that a lot of the listeners out there may have noticed that when you go to any of the Department of Interior websites, you can't get there. As a matter of fact, the Department of Interior has been asked by the courts to close down all Internet access. So if you want to go to the BLM, for example, guess what? You can't do that. And as well, people who work in the Department of Interior literally can't communicate via email anymore. And that's kind of tough, you know. So I thought about this, I just want to kind of, I actually was at a BLM event and talking with BLM people, and I just want to say that I don't think there's really any bad guys in this. It actually comes about as a result of a court issue to protect Native American rights and privacy, and so until that's resolved in the courts, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to get to any BLM sites, and they can't get to you via email, but this will be resolved eventually, so hold on, this will get better. Now, on a whole different attack here. This is an article. This is actually on CNN.com. And this is one about mass extinction. People talk about this. It can sound all, you know, pretty dangerous and scary. But this is based on some real research. And I think it's important for us to really, really take a look at this, because this gets to the heart of some of the things that we want to talk about here on the Wild Side News. There was a detailed survey that took 40 years in Britain. About 20,000 people, volunteers, spent their time over that 40 years virtually monitoring every butterfly, every bird, every flower, to see what was happening, and they found something out that was really quite astonishing. They're finding out that in many cases the species are decreasing sensationally. That's a bad word, actually. Dramatically is a better word. Some of the species are declining by as much as 54%, some as many as 71%. This is not a good thing, and some scientists, as they say, based on real science here, are saying that this may be the beginning. Some people are saying we're actually in the middle of what is being called a mass extinction. Something to think about. And I'll tell you what, one of the things, why this really matters to me. You know, when I was growing up in the Midwest, I grew up in Milwaukee and areas of Wisconsin and Minnesota. As a kid, I'd head out almost all the time because I'm a nature guy. And one of the things that I remember dramatically is that there were butterflies. There were like these wonderful, magical gifts all over the place. The most beautiful creatures, gentle and extraordinarily beautiful. And it was a joy to be out in the summer and see these beautiful, beautiful divine little beings flying around. Well, the butterflies in particular are one of the animals that they're saying are just not around like they used to be. We need to really be concerned about this, and we need to monitor this. We really can't let this happen on this planet. We just really can't. We're going to be a very lonely bunch of people if we allow these miraculous creatures that are such gifts to all of us to disappear. So we're going to be following this as time progresses here on the Wild Side News. We're not trying to be alarmist, but we are trying to keep you informed. Well, today we're going to be talking about the National Trail System, and it is an extraordinary a place. I want you to imagine, I'm sure all of you have been to a national park. I want you to imagine going to a national park, and I'd like you to sort of imagine taking two ends of that park and just start to stretch it out. Just keep stretching it and stretching it and stretching it. All that wonder, the beauty, the scenery, the history, just keep stretching it till it starts extending hundreds of miles, and in some cases even thousands of miles. And take that national park and get it down so perhaps it's maybe as narrow as a 20 or 50 or 100 feet, and guess what you have? You have the National Trails System in America. In reality, what the National Trails are very long, linear national parks. Now, I'm going to play a little clip here with two really extraordinary people. This is Bill and Jean Watson, and these people have given 40 years of their lives to pulling together the records of change through time on the National Trail System. They work actually as part of the Oregon-California Trail Association. So let's hear what they have to say about their work in the National Trail System.
Today we're talking with Bill and Jean Watson, who work with the Oregon-California Trails Association. Talk a little bit about what the Oregon-California Trails Association does.
Well, I think people are intrigued with the trail, not only because they may have ancestors who came west on it, but also the general story of coming to the gold rush and everything that the pioneers encountered in making the trip, which could last 4 to 6 months. Depending on where you were headed, whether you were coming by wagon or pack train. And there's just something about the story of courage at such an undertaking that seems to fascinate everyone. And, of course, it's taught in every school in the country. It was very exciting to make the trip, even though many of them might have had qualms about it. They kept them to themselves or recorded them in their diaries. But the families went along, and they enjoyed crossing the prairies in the Midwest with the beautiful wildflowers. They talk about those. And then the scenery on the trail, Courthouse Rock, Chimney Rock, are absolutely spectacular. Everybody mentioned Courthouse Rock. You could leave home as a single wagon and family and meet people at the Missouri River crossings and join up with them, or it could be a wagon company from your home region. And they might start out with more than 50 wagons, but they soon found that would be impractical because the livestock would eat off all the grass rapidly and leaving little for the people at the end of the train. So they would break down into smaller units. But they tried to keep together for safety and camaraderie, and sometimes they did get separated and continue on alone. You wanted to be ready to cross the Missouri in April, early May.
Because, see, then the grass was high enough that the animals could eat, and otherwise you had to take additional sacks of grain to feed the animals until they could eat off the natural forage.
And it would take, as I said, 4 to 6 months to make the crossing, depending on whether you stopped to recruit the animals, which trail you took, how fast you could travel. There's one diary by two brothers in 1849 going to San Jose, and they planned exceptionally well. They took just the right amount of food. They still had some to share with immigrants who were without food and came into the gold mines with a two-week supply. And as they used up their food supplies, they cut down the size of the wagon to make it easier for the animals to pull. And they were really quite good on their planning for the trip.
But if you ran, some of them ran out of food, some of them had too much, and the wagons were overloaded, and they had to dump things along the trail, including heirloom pieces of furniture, of course, long gone now.
In China.
In China, just because the animals couldn't pull that big a load.
And then there was the cholera. In 1849, 50, and 52, cholera was absolutely deadly on the trail. And that was caused by contaminated water, but nobody knew that in the 1850s. And the ones who used the water from the Platte River, even though it had to settle the sand and mud out of it, were safer than the ones who used the water from the wells dug along the Platte River, because those were contaminated. That, to quote an 1849er from Newark, New Jersey, "With caution, courage, and will, we will overcome."
See, when we go up this summer, we'll have three generations of our family up on the trail working as volunteers. So with luck, by it's rubbing off, and our work will be carried on after we're no longer able to get up to that elevation. It's sort of like eating one salted peanut. You can't stop. And the more, once you get into it, it gets you hooked. It's a lot of fun.
Well, that was Gene and Bill Watson. Deb, I think you're on the line from a payphone.
I'm on my cell phone now.
Oh, cell phone now. Okay. I know. Listen, I'm glad that you can be with us here on the Wild Side News today, and we only have about 3 minutes left. I'm sorry about that, but there's so much to cover. Can you give us an overview? Deb, by the way, is the BLM National Trails Coordinator with the BLM, and can you give us an overview of the BLM and National Trails?
Sure. The Bureau of Land Management, we have approximately 10,000 employees, and we manage 264 million acres of public land, primarily in the western 12 states. We, of the 23 national scenic and historic trails in the system, the Bureau administers and manages 12, land along 12 of those trails in the west. And those include Pony Express, the Iditarod, the El Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, the Pacific Crest Trail, Continental Divide Trail, and many other trails like that.
Those are great names in terms of trails, and we're all familiar with them. I know in terms of your work, you have a great challenge in trying to coordinate all the various elements that make trails happen, and one of those big elements are volunteers and communities. That's a really important topic. Can you talk with us about that?
Sure. I think the trail system is really unique. We have a number of partnership organizations. For every trail, there is one or two major organizations that help us to maintain trails and work on all kinds of interesting projects. And And a lot of those are you know, volunteer work, ranging from putting signs in the ground along the trails to constructing bridges or maintaining trails or serving as hosts at historic sites along the historic trails, to helping us work on broader issues such as, you know, strategic planning and just a whole host of issues like that. These folks are real dedicated. They definitely put a lot of time and energy into the system, and they are kind of the caretakers for the system and work with the BLM folks on a daily basis.
You know, we only have about a minute left. Talk to us about gateway communities and the importance of trails in terms of economics and recreation to those communities.
Yes, gateway communities are just a real important part of what goes on these trails. There are probably 75 gateway communities such as Santa Fe and Missoula, Montana, and Casper, Wyoming, and, you know, numbers of these communities where the trails either pass through them or very close to them. And the communities have a really neat opportunity to participate in either adventure or ecotourism or heritage tourism along these trails. These trails are a real draw for Americans, and especially as we see the baby boomers retiring, they're going back to their roots on the historic trails. They want to retrace their roots. So a lot of folks have relatives that, you know, came on the Oregon Trail or California Trail or Pony Express or a number of those, and they want to retrace their roots, and they're going back to these places and communities and spending nights in hotels and all kinds of things. And certainly we're seeing an increase in hiking, too, on the scenic trails.
Well, Deb, thanks so much. You know, we're going to talk on a regular basis and talk a lot more about trails here on the Wild Side News. So let's do that, and I want to invite all of our listeners to stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to be talking with Gary Werner, Executive Director, Partnership for the National Trail System.